Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Episode 3. First one on the Bomb feed, episode 3 of the Rap Nance podcast. You know my voice, you know what I mean? Jerv caught a lot of different other things, not many sets in my face. I'm here with one of the hairline guys, you know what I'm saying? I got the hairline guys, my man Mari, you know what I mean? What's good, bro?
What's good, man? Ain't nothing. We chilling, like Jerv said, it's episode 3 of the Rap Nance podcast, but it's episode 1 on the Bomb feed, you know what I'm saying? We home. Back home and all that. Shout out to the guys and everything. We chilling, bro. You know what I mean? We out here. We got a pretty good show locked up for y'all. You know what I mean?
For sure. You know, I showed love to the hairline guy. I got the corners guy on this pod as well. you know, my man Yao G's. one of the hottest motherfuckers in the game right now. I put that on anything. You know, I reached out to him about availability, and this is when I knew. This is when I knew you was lit, bro. I said, yo, what's Thursday looking like? My nigga hit me back and said, yo, I'm booked. I said, oh, shit.
Woo, hey.
So, you know, I appreciate you, bro.
You start using words like booked. Yes. Yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I'm booked, I thought he was about to hit me with the, yo, my you got my emails in my bio.
Get in touch. My people gonna talk to your people.
You gotta be kidding me, yo. I mean, come on, man.
I'm booked.
Crazy. Y'all crazy. Yo, man, what should we say, yo? What should we say? I had some things I had to take care of.
Hey, listen, bro. I ain't even mad at you, brother. You know what I'm saying? All seriousness. I know this is it's a long time coming. For you, yeah. Man, you know what I'm saying? And not to steal a line from one of my favorite podcasts out there, you know what I mean, Drink Champs, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, you know, on this show, we all about, you know, when we have guests on, we all about giving niggas they flowers while they can smell them, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Whatever kind of flowers you into, whether it be roses, you know what I'm saying, or whether it be that motherfucking sticky, you know what I'm saying? Whatever your flavor is, you know what I'm saying? We all about giving flowers while you can smell them, bro. So, you know, before we start this off, man, I just wanted to tell you, from me to you, super duper proud of you, bro. You know what I mean?
Appreciate
grinding.
You
know what I mean? You grinding. It seemed like every day I'm seeing a new visual up there, and I'm like, God damn. Like,
dude. Yeah. And Jerv shares.
DC Jerv, now?
Jerv definitely shares your anything that you got going on, your endeavors, any project you're working on. You know, and so whenever he does that too, it's like it's great to see people doing good work, but it's also great to see a fellow black man. You look at a black man, and you're like, damn,
of course
I could do that too. And that's, you know, and it's like the degrees of separation, it's like it's so close. It's like, damn, I can really do that. This is somebody I could reach out to and talk to him. So I want to salute you on that. Like, that's something like that. Like, I want to ask you this, like, real quick. Do you ever look at yourself like, I'm really affecting change, like, in a positive way? I'm influencing people. I'm inspiring people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think in years past, I think I took that aspect of it for granted a little bit. You know what I mean? Just seeing people seeing you do something and being inspired by it. I was just trying to do it to make sure that I wasn't, I guess, wasting my talent, so to speak. Like, it gets tough. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be 40 this year. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's a long time grinding. You know what I'm saying? And, like, there's been times when, you know, I was laid off, wasn't sure what I was going to be doing, you know, trying to get into other fields of business. And sometimes you start to realize as you get older, you realize what you're cut out for, what you're not cut out for, and what you're cut out for. You know what I mean? You start to realize the difference. And I realized that this is something that I can, you know, that I can do for, you know, for creative purposes, just to keep my mind together. And also, you know what I mean? Like, to get to shine some light. And also, just like you said, just being a black man that can inspire other black people. You know what I mean? I took that for granted, because me, like I said, I was just trying to grind and get my thing going. But then you hear the commentary from people, it's like, yo, it's just proud to see you still doing your thing. You know what I mean? That those words are like, you really can't put a price on stuff like that. You know what I mean? Those are the things that kind of keep you going. Because, you know, a long time ago, people tell you, like, yo, just keep working, like, everything else will come. And that shit sounds good. You know what I mean?
Right. In theory. Sound like a cliche, you know, like, oh, yeah, all right.
Yeah. And you get to a certain point, you're like, you know what, let me turn to something else. But, you know, sometimes when you're a creator and when you're an artist, it's important for you to get the art out in some way, shape, form, or fashion.
Right.
And that's why I kept doing the raps, kept doing the albums. And, you know, that kept my pen sharp, and it kept me in the at least in the faces of a lot of people that I used to work with in TV. So that in itself, and also just developing relationships over the years as well, just being nice to people has gotten me very far in life. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It's been a blessing, and I just hope it continues as long as possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, man. That's beautiful, man. Again, we want to thank you, you know what I mean, for coming off and joining us and all that. Every time we start the show off, we like to kick it off with a couple, you know, quick hits, you know, little things like that. So this week, the quick hit we want to talk about is just music, particularly like whatever you listening to at the moment, and in your case, maybe like what you're working on. Like, if you want to kick it off, you can go ahead, and then we'll go ahead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll give you a little both. So, I mean, recently, honestly, like I haven't listened to a lot of new shit, even from like newer artists. Like, even today, I just realized that I'm starting to get back into albums that I didn't get a chance to listen to over the years, or really not even necessarily listen to, but didn't digest. Like today, I finally pulled up Revenge of the Nerds. Is that what it was?
Revenge of the Dreamers.
Yeah. So I just pulled that up. That joint hard, of course. But what happens is like I have my shit on shuffle, and the song pops up from me, and be like, yo, I forgot where this album's from, and I decided to go back to it. I really didn't digest it, and then I banged that shit today. That shit's banging. So it's that. A lot of like underground artists necessarily. I'm not sure if you guys heard of RJ Payne. He's from Philly. He's a hardcore lyricist. Listening to him a little bit.
I like him. He was doing some work with Ransom and like Benny too. Yeah. I know last year I heard him on some juice. Yeah.
Yep. Definitely did some work with Ransom. I've been listening to Ransom as well recently. But more than anything right now, I've been listening to So I've been on my Afro Beats wave. That Wizkid album has been out, is outstanding. I don't know if I struggle into Afro Beats, but I'm Ghanaian, so that's it. It's in me. I can't even separate myself from it. And yeah. Then the last three days, on repeat, I've been playing that Lemon Pepper Freestyle.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
On repeat.
That shit's hard.
There aren't many things in my life that I enjoy more than Drake in Rat Bag. I don't think people give him the credit that he deserves when he is out here. I mean, bruh, the nigga literally was spitting 4 minutes. Oh. Talk real shit. Metaphor, similes.
He's so disrespectful, bro. He's so disrespectful, so lightly. Like he said, teacher parent meetings, wives get googly eyed, regardless of what their husband do to provide. Like, bro, it don't matter what you do for a living.
Asking me if I know Beyonce and Nicki Minaj. Then he says,
Of course.
Of course.
So man.
What are we talking about here? And it's just like, I don't think, because me personally, like when he's in this bag, I always give it up. A lot of niggas don't. Like when he dropped when Wayne had the freestyle, the BB King's freestyle that came out a couple months ago, I ran that shit into the ground because it was tremendous Drake at his finest of shit talk. But I don't think I was online and niggas was like, nah, it's lukewarm. I'm thinking to myself, are y'all crazy? Because, like I said, man, it's not many things.
Oh, he's reached the LeBron point in his career where if he has 19, 13, and 10, they like, nah, whatever.
It's whatever.
But if somebody else did that, it's a career night for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like but honestly, if you keep it a buck, the Lemon Pepper freestyle and that BB King freestyle lyrically are right on par. It's just the fact that Lemon Pepper, it just goes so much further. And just it's just a long period of rapping at a high level. It's just a high.
Yep.
So that's what I didn't get. And I think also, on the BB King freestyle, I think because Wayne's verse was so good, people are like, oh, Drake's verse is regular.
And it's a different dynamic when it's Wayne and Drake, when it's Wayne and Ross. Like they got a very different history. You know what I'm saying?
They don't miss either. Because of that freestyle, I actually went back and just listened to all the Ross and Drake joints.
I've been on that.
Rap at its finest, yo.
It really is.
Word though.
I've been on that recently. I've been listening to that. Drake dropped the little three pack on us. I've been running that up, but I've been listening to like a lot of old music, bro. Like I went back and listened to the First State Property album, which is
that's the album that made me
get Tidal. For those that don't know,
you a real one, because I ain't gonna sit here and lie. But before I got Tidal, I could not find that album. The only album that's available anywhere is Part Two.
It's Part Two.
It's only some songs on it.
It's only like four or five songs available whatever. So,
dog, I looked on Tidal. First Day Property joint, Tidal's amazing.
I looked on Tidal and I did the free trial, whatever, and I was listening to it. And one day, the trial ran out, and I was like, I'm about to pay for this. I'm about to pay for this whole platform for this album in particular, because of what that album meant to me when I first heard it. And then, what it still means to me, to this day. So, I've been going back listening to stuff like that. I've been going back listening to, old R&B joints. I've really just been going back, getting in that bag. Rap-wise, obviously, I'm, a super Griselda fan. So, I'm listening to everything Benny, Conway, Gunn, all of that.
Who are your favorite rappers out of Griselda?
My favorite rapper, period, right now is Benny. It's Benny the Butcher. Okay. Like that's my guy. I think here's how I break Griselda down, right? I think if you're talking just musically, strictly music, I get that to Westside Gunn because he's a pure artist. Like he's a great curator, right?
Yeah.
If you're talking about like, all right, it's a new freestyle out. I know Conway burnt that down. Mm-hmm. But if you want like the kind of sort of like the best of both worlds, then give me Benny. That's why he's my favorite because his music's gonna be good and he's gonna give you some bar. Like he remind me of Kiss. It remind me of that. And you know, it just in that regard. So I think
I feel you.
For me, it'll be Benny.
I go with Question Benny. Jerk. I'm definitely Benny is my favorite, but I think Conway is definitely the nicest. You know what I mean? I say somebody nice, you know what I mean? It means a lot to me. So I definitely But, like, I'm not – I think West is the weakest out of the bunch, but I fool with West. Like, West is who I want to listen to. West is who I want to listen to if I'm chopping up a video or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need that grind music. You know what I mean? It's something about him, boom, 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 boom. And you know what I mean? Yeah. And ayo. Like, all, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm – dude, they – shoot, you want to talk about a takeover. They takeover has been crazy. Not that you know it's wild. Like I've been listening to Griselda a lot lately. I've been heavy in my Hove bag lately. I don't know why. I think it was I think I did one of your joint. Did you just mention like I had my library just on random? Like I like doing that from time to time. I like just putting my entire library on random because you know like you get in such a routine of listening to the same stuff over and over and over again. And then you forget about certain things, right? Like you know what I mean? Like I'm 40 now, so I really, 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 really fool with 444. Like I love that album on so many levels. But randomly, I think it was Prey from America Gangster came on the other day on my and I was just like, shit, I ain't listened to this album in a minute. Right,
like American is actually one of my. It's actually surpassed Black Album in that third slot for me as far as best Hove albums.
Maybe I respect
better
that.
Than Blueprint to me.
What you got? One and two.
One and two was probably reasonable in Blueprint, but I think. Here's what I'll say: American Gangster might not be better than Blueprint, but I think American Gangster may have aged better than Blueprint. If that makes any sense.
Like, I can see that.
I think there's more legendary songs on Blueprint, and also for the time that Blueprint came out, what everything that's surrounded around that album between the battle and you know him even having Michael Jackson on the album and things of that nature. Like Hove was in the time, you know, Aaliyah's death and the towers, the time that album came out. I mean, it's different. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think American Gangster musically, and when you listen to the lyrics and like the depth of the lyrics, I think it's aged better.
I can see that. Man. I can see that.
Especially the album was the album itself was a movie, bro. Like it really was the movie. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm not one of them. So my three, you know what I'm saying? Like whatever. I think actually my number one Hove album is Black Album, right? Like to me.
Okay.
I think just from probably because I seen it live, right? And it was something about Encore when and then you see Encore live and you literally see homie leave the stage and then you see however many thousands and tens of thousands of people literally chant Hova, Hova, you know what I'm saying? And then like homie comes back on stage, right? So like I think the experience alone made Black Album my number one joint, but I also recognize it's damn near blasphemy to not have Reasonable Doubt as the best Hove album because like that's the hungriest homie's literally ever been in his life to me lyrically. And you know what I mean? Like I relate to a lot of those songs just on, like I had a tough period where like when I had just first gotten to Connecticut and every time I was dipping to go here, dipping to go there. You know what I mean? I used to go get my hair cut. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? Shit a little different now. You know what I'm saying? Don't do that, bro. Don't do that.
Every time I had to, man.
Anytime I would come back in Connecticut, like somehow it's a way in my lifetime would just randomly come on.
Yeah.
So I was just like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I love Reasonable Doubt, but I'm with you, bro. Like, I really do think American Gangsta is – it's one of his best albums. And it, you know what I mean? It's on his Mount Rushmore of albums.
Absolutely, yeah.
I agree. Definitely.
I think – I'm trying to think if I had to pick my three. For me, it would be – and not because I think is better per se, but I think Blueprint is one up there for me. Reasonable Doubt, for sure. And that third one is always tough because Volume 2 is an album that I, like, when I first heard it, when I was young and I first heard it, I was like, I'm going to tell you this. The moment that changed my life was when I learned Jazzo's verse on Nigga What? Nigga Who? When I learned that verse, I was like, son, niggas can't, I'm invincible, dog. Like, it's nothing I can't do. I learned this verse, bro. I know it.
Yeah, watch this. Watch this real quick. Yeah, I'm about to hurt your feelings real fast. Yo, Mar, how old were you when Volume 2 came out, bro?
God damn it. What year was Volume 2? 98?
98.
I was 10, man.
What?
What do you do this to me all the time, 10. Man? Listen, dog.
So you a real live definition of a young boy then. That's what this is. A young boy.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to young boy you, but
No, I feel you. But Jerv do this to me every week. We do this every week, right? We're 3 weeks in. This is episode 3 of the Rap Names Podcast. And every single time we talk about an album, he makes it a point to talk about. That's why I hit him with the hair shit, because I knew this was gonna come up. I knew it.
Okay, that's fair.
It to me all the time. He's like, oh, so wait, how old was you when this came out? And I'm like, all right, he gonna make me say I was 8 when Reasonable Doubt came out. All right,
cool. Just saying, bro, you legit needed somebody to go buy the album for you because it had parental advisory on you, bro. Unless you was going to Walmart.
I'm gonna tell you what it is. I'm gonna tell you what happened, right? So I had the benefit of having older brothers, cousins, and all that, and like my homeboys. So they would already had an album before it, you know what I mean? Like it was like a store around the corner in our hood where you can go get the album for like a couple dollars more before it came out. They would get their shipments in early. So they go over there and get it, they bring it back, and they listen to it. And I'm like, yo, what is this? And they're like, oh, this the whatever, this. And I'm like, oh, okay. When y'all get done, let me get that. I'm gonna be in the house. They bring it in there, they pull off whatever, and I'm in there listening to this shit like sun up to sun down, like literally sun up to sun down. I'm listening to it. So yeah, I was 10. So what up, Jerv? You happy?
Hey, listen,
you better about the same.
I'm a little jealous of you, because in my house, bro, my African household, trying to listen to hip hop music as an 11-12 year old, I mean, it was a task trying to sneak around. Like my mom is a you know, devout Christian, so my dad is in love hip hop music, so you know, whenever we got our chances kind of sneaking in, we sneak it in here and there, bro. It was tough. It was tough. So you being 10 and listening to the album, I commend you.
Ain't nothing harder than talking about erectile dysfunction. I'm telling you. Isn't it ironic that the word hard describes the conversation about not being able to get hard? Usually we brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost me mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But when I was a kid, in the movies, it would say, I have a headache. That was how they say they couldn't or did not want to have sexual relations that night, but saying they had a headache. You don't need to do that. And listen to me. You do not need to do that. Because with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. Check it out. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward. It's simple. It's discreet. You don't have to worry about going to some weird office and seeing all the other people there who are waiting for God knows what. You could do it all from your home. It's real simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/BOM. GetRoman.com/BOM.
So now, I feel like this is a good, this is a great segue. It's a great transition. So the name of this podcast is the Rap Names Podcast. And, you know, for those that don't know how we came up with this, go back to episode one. Jerv and I had a conversation about this. Jerv, yes, I'm going to make you tell the story again. Yes, I am. So basically, here's how I came up with it, right? When I was young and I had rap dreams like most of us did, I was listening to the Dynasty album, right? And it's a song, Stick to the Script. And, you know, DJ Clue come on, talk about William H. Holler, William M. Holler, the Holler family. So in my head, I'm like, when I get on, I'm signing to Rockefeller. I know they're going to fuck with me. I'm signing to the Rock.
You know they're going to fuck with you.
I know they are. Like, there's no way they're not.
Yo, bro, I feel you on that.
So I'm like, all right, bet. What name I'm going to come up with? So my first name is Mariano, right? Everybody call me Mari. So I'm like, oh, M. Holler. I'm just right there. I'm going to be right in the Holler family. I'm getting signed. No way I'm not getting signed. So that's how I came up with my name. Jerv, please tell the people how you came up with your name again before we let him go. You know what I'm saying? Because we're going to ask you how you came up with your rap name and all that. Jerv, go ahead and tell
people. Sure.
So
I want to hear this. I definitely want to hear this.
Yes.
So there was a, I'm from Southwest Philly. There was a group in Southwest called Non Brigade, right? Early in the game with Freeway. That's the notable song everybody know them for, right? They used to be Task Force back in the day. So one of the OGs in the group named Rambo, that's my old head, we used to play ball around the corner. So you've met him, yeah. My man Shiz and my man Hamp. Shiz was in the group with us, right? His name was PBS, right? For Pretty Boy Shiz, right? Because niggas used to always, they niggas used to be like, oh, you think you a pretty boy, which I never understood, because I know ball, like, grimy, not a pretty boy, but whatever. Anyway, and my man Hamp, his name was Holy, right? He was from the bottom part of Philly, so they used to say he was Holyfield, because he looks like the ball that would just knock everybody out for no reason. So they used to call me, and I ain't tell you this part, Mari. They used to call me Al B. Shore, right? Like, everybody called me Al B. Shore around the way. So my rap name couldn't be Al B. Shore, my nigga. Like, I can't be out here talking about I'm taking trips with Poppy, hopping out the coupe, spraying the block. Mind you, I'm on SEPTA at the time, right? I ain't hopping out no motherfucking coupe, right? Like, dog, I had not touched Nan Brick, not nothing. But you know what I'm saying? Poppy, I had Poppy on speed dial. You know what I'm saying? I was taking all these flights or whatever. So we was trying to figure out my name, right? So I'm watching How to Be a Player. And
here we go.
Bernie Mac goes, and I'm gonna drop the shit in the clip, right? Bernie Mac, you know what I mean? It's the part where light skinned boy and Pierre and whoever else was sitting outside while Bill Bellamy was inside knocking off the one joint, knocking on Bernie Mac white, and Bernie pull up, and Bernie said, "You beige motherfucker." Whip up in my thing and you get
tossed. Put your fucking music down in front of my house, man. My lovely wife's trying to get some rest. People live on this block, you beige motherfucker.
I said, fuck yourself, shit, man. I got a drop for that for my first single right there. So my rap name was Beige, my nigga. So mind you, my rap name is Beige, right? I got this soft ass name, but I'm talking the toughest lyrics you could possibly find. Not tough as if I was nice, but just tough as in, like, yo, bro, duh, listen, like, I had a bar. Down, my nigga.
Bro, babe, I had a bar. His first rap was name, Beige,
bro. Look, I had a bar Beige. Where I said I had more bricks than AI on an off night. Never touched a brick, bro. Like, ever.
Oh yeah.
That was the 90s though, bro. Like you know what I'm saying? Cocaine rap was heavy.
We all had to go through that. I had a verse one time. It's crazy talking some crazy gun talk. It's probably like 17, 18 years old. I was talking really crazy gun talk. And then my uncle heard it. He's like, "Yo." He's like, "I know you got a pistol." I was like, "I don't." He was like, "What you gonna do?" He said, "Yo, what you gonna do if somebody press you?" And I said, "All right, well, there it is."
Yeah, shit, hopefully they heard the verse and they don't want to press me.
I don't think I ever. I mean, nowadays, I mean, like whatever, right? I know niggas who carry all the time. You know what I mean? And I know niggas who are like about that life. So, but back then it was like, yo, you got to stop this shit.
So was this your first rap name? If it wasn't, what was it? And then once you settled on this, like how did you? I don't think it was originally a rap name.
It was when I went to high school outside of Philly, Church Farm School. Shout out to everybody listening outside of Philly, except for my Philly niggas that listen, by the way. You know, my homie, this dude named Rakib, we played basketball together. We was on a JV team together, and he used to call me Yao Money. Like, yo, Yao Money getting honeys. That was his little thing when he see me at home. Yao Money getting honeys. You know what I mean? And then, I don't know, that kind of turned into, like, I think somebody called me Yao Jeezy for, like, you know, just, and then it just turned to Yao Jeez as a name. And I turned it into a rap name when after I started writing rhymes, probably like 17, 18 years old.
That's pretty smooth. I ain't gonna lie. That's a smooth story.
Hold on, it wasn't true back then. I don't want to mince words here. Money was not getting honeys back then. I want to let y'all be very clear. You know what I mean?
Like, he was manifesting it for you. He was manifesting that.
You know I was about to go there, bro.
Hey, that was not the case at all. I mean, I got so many stories. You know Adam. Adam will tell you a story, bro. Oh, man, yeah. Me and Adam, my man, Adam. Adam, you know, I finally got a nice little joint one time, you know what I mean? Nice. She was pretty. 16. We went to a school called Springside. That was near,
Springside. They parties used to be
Springside. Okay.
Crazy.
Springside parties was crazy. So I finally bagged. It's probably my first nice little joint I've ever bagged, right? Nice joint. And she wanted to do like a little double date with her homegirl. So I took my man. I said, Adam, I need you to come with me. We ain't know what she looked like, nothing. We get to, you know what I mean? She pick us up. She is not a good look. She ain't at all. And Adam, just, go. Adam just kind of just fucked my whole shit up. You know what I mean? It was a while after that. I ain't seen no action from anybody after that. So it was like, you know what I mean? Like, it was not getting honeys back.
So at all, but. I told Jerv this before we started recording. Is that I thought of this name, and this wasn't a rap name. It was just a name. I don't even know if I want to like say it, tell a story, and all
you
that.
You started. You got to say it.
All right. So this is what I'm about to do. I'm about to grab a beer. Give me like 10 seconds, and I'll tell y'all this story. I got to contemplate this on my way to the fridge. Like I don't.
Because I got a question. I got a question for y'all. So the irony of your name being Yao Jeezy.
Oh, here we go.
The irony of your name being Yao Jeezy, my G. Anybody that knows, I really do fool. Yao is a hell of a follow on Twitter, right? He got 100 takes out this world, right? There's two takes that my man Yao has that I just can't fuck with. One is, my man swears Schweppes is better than Canada Dry, and I just can't trust you after that.
That's not swearing. That's true, Jerk.
Nah, bro. It's not, bro. Like,
I ain't gonna lie. Because I don't even like how Schweppes bottle look. I never even picked it up. I ain't gonna hold it.
Schweppes is at the dollar store. No disrespect to Dollar Tree, though. But Schweppes is at the dollar store.
They disrespecting Schweppes out here, bro.
I'm gonna tell you the best ginger ale, the strongest ginger ale, like, that you need in your life is, because I'm from Detroit. I'm born and raised. It's Verner's.
Everybody from Detroit says Verner's is the one.
Listen, I'm telling you, every time my mom, my pops got sick, if they coughed a little too long, oh, go grab me a Verner's, go grab, you know, whatever. And I'm telling you right now, Verner's was the antidote. I'm gonna go hold you. I'm dead serious. But
shout out to your peoples, dog, because that's love, yo. I shout out anybody who takes ginger ale when they sick, bro. Fuck all that medicine. Just crack a can of ginger ale, get some rest, get you a little blanket, some soup.
That's black herbal medicine right there.
So what was the? You know what I mean? So I'm gonna tell the story, but what was the other take? What's the second take there?
My man, this dude told me he does not fuck with 101. Jeezy's 101. The first joint.
The first joint.
Hello. Hello.
I really bang with it.
Hello.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you this, right? When Jeezy came out, he had a song. What was the song? Like, got some super friends in the Legion of Doom, stay blowing purple shit to keep me high like the moon. Like, it was this girl I was talking to at the time. She loved that song. And I was like, I'm like, you like this shit? Like, she was like, yeah, I like it. And she might even call the nigga handsome. So I'm hating. I'm like, nah, that nigga whack, man. Like, I ain't, whatever. I'm listening to some real shit. These niggas really could rap. I ain't listening to that. When TM 101 dropped, I was like, nah, this nigga is it. He got it, bro.
So here's what I think everybody has to understand as far as where I'm coming from with this. All right? So just bear with me. First of all, there are songs on the first album that I do bang with. I want to make that clear. Now, as time has progressed, there are songs on there I bang with. I do bang with The Inspiration and Recession far more than I bang with the first album, right? But also, you have to understand, like, at the time where I was in my life, there was nobody that was enjoying the Jeezy album in my life. Nobody. As far as that, anybody that I was close to in close proximity to. Like, not only that, but Rick Ross had come out right around the same time, and I was banging with Ross. Port of Miami came out at the same time. I remember, so I was on 2/5. I came to see my girlfriend, who's now my wife. 125th Street. Thank you. Appreciate it. 125th Street. Had the bootlegs or whatever. I grabbed Jeezy because I heard it was so good. I grabbed Jeezy and I grabbed something else. I grabbed Jeezy and I threw that in first to go on a ride. I remember I was going to go stop and see my cousin. She was at Fordham. I was going to go stop and see her real quick. So I played it. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? What is this? You know what I mean? I was just mad because it was like, yo, niggas was telling me he was nice. And I'm like, yo, this nigga don't seem like he nice to me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So there's that aspect of it. There's the second aspect of... What I realize is these albums in like New York and Philly and Atlanta and Miami and Houston were a truly big deal. I was in Connecticut. You know what I mean? I wasn't, yes, the single was on and the singles were cool or whatever, but nobody I knew at the time was banging that album. You understand what I'm saying? At the time, and listen, I come to realize that there were a lot of people that were, even some of my closest homeboys are like in the group chat who were trying to tell me that Jeezy was better than Ross at the time, which wasn't true. It's not true now.
It's never been true, actually. It's just never been true. So I'll say this, right? I can understand from that point of view, because when people present an artist to me, the one thing I ask them is, what am I to be expecting when I listen to them? Because if you tell me that they got some good music, I won't go into it thinking they lyrical miracle. If you tell me a dude is nice, I'm gonna listen to what he's saying. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, you told me he was nice, and I'm an MC as well. You know what I mean? So right. If you tell me like,
nice means something, depending on whatever you come from, nice means a different thing.
Agreed.
Like now, you just say nice, just whatever. Like, but it nice.
Everybody
to me
nice now.
Nice.
All of a sudden,
right? Like I listen to what's the kid? Pooh Shiesty, right? I like the music. He has some good music to ride to. Mm-hmm. He talking some street shit. He talking some whatever. I wouldn't tell somebody that he's nice. I like the music. So I would tell them that. He got a hard tape out. You know what I'm saying? But let me tell y'all this story before we transition, because I just want to get this shit out of there so we can forget about it. So when I was young, when I first saw A Bronx Tale, right, I was like, yo, this is it. Like, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm seeing all the, like, that was it. You know what I mean? So I was trying to come up with a name, like on some, trying to, I guess, like, not even like reinvent myself, but I was like, man, everybody got nicknames and all. I had a family nickname and all that, but I'm like, nah, I need something real that people could call me. And I'm going to be the cool nigga when I get old and, you know, all this, that, and the third. So, you know, so I used to always wear this, it was this gray and white Nike sun visor. You know what I'm saying? He was always rocking it. He was always rocked that like every day. Like that was my shit. So I was like, yo, when I get older, I'ma be the nigga with the ill crib and the, you know what I'm saying? Niggas come through. I'ma probably be out in Cali somewhere. They gonna know me. And my name gonna be Sonny V. Like that's gonna be my name. Like Sonny.
Sonny V.
look.
Wow. Wow.
Because I was going, because Sonny, because like Sonny was getting the, you know what I mean? I'm like, damn, this nigga's ill. Like,
Sonny
is ill. Right, chill, bro. Chill.
I'll give it up. That's a goodie. I'm thinking about
what's coming along with that. Like, oh yeah, this Sonny shit. Like, nah, we in Sonny shit. You gotta respect Sonny shit. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm thinking for myself.
He thought it all out. Yo, we in Sonny's pool right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, I bet you put the visor with it. Yeah, Sonny V. Like that. That's what it was gonna be. But yeah. So I had to get that out there because I remembered it and I told Jerry I was gonna tell her. So. Whatever. It is what it is.
All good. I get it. It's all good.
Since we talking to the guys, we talking to the homies, I want to talk about this thing in particular about guy code, right? This is a certain section of the guy code manual, right?
Oh, boy.
What are y'all thoughts on having your bare feet out around your homeboys? Because I got thoughts on that. What are y'all thoughts on it? Do y'all not think about it that deep? It ain't that serious or whatever. Like, what? Let's round table it. Like, let's start with Jer. We can go round table. I'll go last. Let's go ahead.
Rest in peace to my man, Nato Skato. One of my brothers passed away years ago. He used to have this thing. If he came in your crib and saw you with your Nike slides on, my G. I ain't talking about no chancletas or nothing like that. I'm talking about just your hooper Nike slides that every man rocks in their crib when they with their lady or they in the crib by themselves doing their laundry. He would just be like, he would say the word and be like, yo, that's crazy, yo. It's crazy, folk. You just got your toes all out right now. Like, yo, what you about to do? Bake a cake or something? You got your toes out, folk. So I got a phobia, bro. I don't be having my toes out around the homies, dog. Like, hoopers, right? So for me, it ain't nothing to have my white Nike socks on with my slides. You know what I'm saying? I go out all day. I'll run anywhere you want, you know what I mean, with my slides on, dog. But I'll be damned if I go outside, unless I'm on the beach. If I'm on the beach, I'm cool, right? You might catch my toes out on the beach. But you come in my crib, I don't want to, you're not going to see my toes. I don't want to come in the crib and see your toes. Respect me and have your toes covered. Have your slippers on. Have your socks on. I don't even care if your socks is holy, fam. At the end of the day, just cover your toes up, man. Be respectful.
Yeah, I agree. Y'all, how you feel about this? How you feel about that, man?
Honestly, I keep it a buck with y'all. I don't really, I used to care, but I don't care no more. You know what I mean? I used to be like, yo. No, you can't be coming in here. I used to be very self-conscious about my feet, you know what I mean? Till I started getting pedicures and started, you know, treating myself like the gentleman that I am, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, after that, you know what I mean? Just do what you do. If you feel comfortable, not only that, also, and keep it all the way real with you. Once I realized that you need to let your feet breathe because of shit like athlete's foot and fucking fungus, you got to let them shits breathe. You said, wherever we're at, if my feet need to be out, need to be out. You know what I'm saying? So, do what you got. Judge who you want. Judge your auntie if you want. You know what I mean? It don't matter to me.
I respect it.
You know what I'm saying?
I respect it 1,000%. And I'm going to have my feet out when I'm asleep. Obviously, I'm not sleeping with socks, so I'm not a serial killer. I'm going to have socks on when I leave my crib. Like, you know, obviously, I wear them, you know, regular. But there was a time, I brought this up because there was a time when, so like one of my homeboys, right, shout out my man L. He'll pull up on me. I'll pull up on him, whatever. So this particular time, he's about to pull up on me. And I'm chilling. I'm with my family and shit. You know, I got my feet out. I'm chilling. Say he's about to pull up. Ran to the drawer, grabbed some socks, put them on. My wife was like, where you going? I was like, I'm just about to go downstairs. I'm chilling. She was like, I thought you was about to get dressed. You put socks on. I said, yeah, elf in the pull up. She was like, so you put socks on? I said, yeah, like you, but I'm about to have my naked toes out around my homeboy. Like, I'm not doing that. And it's not because it's on some, like, you know, I'm comfortable. It's whatever. It's not like that. I just don't feel right. Like, I don't feel like, yeah, I want to pull up and have you got your feet out. I got my, like, what we doing here? This ain't, you know what I mean?
Feel,
like, this ain't,
I, no, I feel, hey,
this ain't yoga. Like, this ain't none of that. Like, this ain't.
Twinkle toes, you breaking my
yeah,
heart.
Yeah, like, it just don't feel right to me. Like, but I respect it because, like, I take care of my feet. Like, my feet ain't, you know, ain't I bad looking, but it's like, I just don't. And you know what's crazy? If I just so happen to wake up and somebody in my crib and I got my, like my feet out. I'll sit there and have my shit covered up the whole time. We got just a couple more things to get to. It's one thing that's been bothering me because it's been bothering me my whole life, right? Because I hear people talk about it. I hear people praise it. I've seen the pictures. I've seen all the, you know, whatever, the propaganda. And this is one thing that I just
about
don't.
To be super disrespectful, bro.
No, I'm not, bro. No, I'm not, bro. I'm really not. I'm about to be informative is what I'm about to be. I think that's the word you was looking for, my beige brother.
young beige.
Yeah, young beige.
Young beige, what's up?
So I was thinking about this because the anniversary of this alleged event was recently, and I was like, damn, like,
you gonna say alleged, bro?
I was like, damn, bro, like, what's okay, cool, everybody just buying into this hype, so I'm gonna just say it and I'm gonna get my piece out about it because this is how I feel, right? You guys could chime in on it, you could comment on it, you could tell me I'm bugging, all that, but let me just get this, so let me explain this, right? They capital T, capital H, capital E, capital Y, they said Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points in the game. This is what they said to us, right? I find it odd that we have video of Bob Cousy dribbling like Stanley from The Office from like 1939 and all that. But we don't have a single video, a clip of him put a layup from that game, nothing. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. This is what happened. We all watch basketball, right? We all watch ball, right? You ever been watching a game, nigga be just, every time you look up, be putting the bucket up, and you like, man, this nigga gotta have like 60 right now, but he probably got like 28. It's just, he just getting it, he hot, he in that mode right there, you know what I'm saying? But it looked like 60, but it's really 28. This is what happened. Wilt was playing against some dudes who just pulled up from their regular 9-to-5, was on their way home, and somebody stopped him and was like, yo, did y'all want to play against Wilt Chamberlain tonight? And it was like, yeah, cool. I could tell my kids about this shit one night. Cool. Copy. Come get your uniform. Whatever size sneakers you wear, don't even matter. You can keep your steel toes on if you want. Cool. Pull up. Let's play against Wilt, right? Bong. Wilt out there putting up the – every time he get the ball, he hook shot, jumper, free throws, whatever. He dunking the ball. They drinking moonshine and doing all type of shit in the game. So they lost in the sauce. And they like, yo. They like, damn, like – son, he got to have 100 right now. He got to. Like, he didn't have 101. He didn't have 102. 103. Just 100 on the nose. Copy. But that's what happened. They got lost in the sauce. He probably had, like, 62. I'm gonna give him that. But he made it look like 100 points. So they were just like, they wrote 100 on the board and just gave it to him. It was like, yo, take the flick. Hurry up and take the flick. He put up 100 points.
Yeah, come on, bro. Come on, man.
That's what happened. Come on, dog. Come on. He scored I saw Kobe drop 81. I saw Kobe drop 62 in three quarters, man. And sit the fourth. 100?
Come on, bro.
I'm not going
to do that. So you're this is not propaganda. You really think this.
Listen.
You really think that Wilt did not score 100?
I think that Wilt scored a lot of baskets. A whole lot of jump shots, to quote Big Baby Davis. Whole lot of jump shots. I think he scored a lot of baskets, and I think those people was watching that game and was like, bro, what he got right now? And they lost count. And they was just like, bro, he gotta have 100. He gotta have 100. Like, it wasn't 99, it wasn't 101, it was 100 on the nose. Copy. Like, nah, bro, I'm not going, man. I'm not going. Jerry, why you said I was going to be disrespectful, bro? What you?
That's
you
disrespectful
said that?
Right there, bro. That's super disrespectful. First of all, it's disrespectful to the dipper. All right? It's disrespectful to the dipper.
God,
all right,
man.
One thing you're not going to do when the Philly niggas in your presence, my G, is disrespect the dipper. All right? First of all, this man is a legend in so many avenues.
He is. He is. Listen, I don't ever want to take that away from
big
him. He's
screen,
a legend.
Little yes. screen, basketball yes. court. You know what I'm saying? Close proximities, all that shit.
Yes.
Was a legend.
Yes.
Let me tell you, if my pop wasn't doing something right now, dog, I would get up here and have him get on this joint and tell you how Wilt scored 100. Because it had to happen, dog. Like, it had
wait,
to happen.
Wait. What you mean it had to happen?
It had to happen.
So are you admitting that there's no proof, but you just believe it? Just because?
I mean, I believe that there's no footage. I don't think it's asinine or a wild fucking thought to be to a wild idea. I mean, I don't think it's a wild take to be like, damn, yo, there's no footage. Well, yeah, dog, it was like 1950 something, my nigga. Like,
bro, we got video of Bob Cool.
All right, he's white. Bob Cousy's white, fam. Of course there's footage of him. You know what I'm saying? There's footage of him. Ain't gonna be no footage of the black man getting 100 points. Hell no.
It didn't happen, bro.
Oh, come on, don't do that,
bro. Listen, this is what I'm saying.
I'm gonna call Uncle Sonny Hill. I'm gonna call Uncle Sonny and let Uncle Sonny, because I promise that you, Sonny was in the building.
That man called him Uncle Sonny. Boy, hey, you
bro,
know.
Listen, bro.
Philadelphia, Philly niggas are the most loyal niggas of all time.
That's no, they are. They really are. They really are. They like they really are. Like they dead ass are. Hey, and I salute that.
I salute that. There's no demographic of people that's more loyal to their city than Philadelphia. I promise you that.
The Dipper, B. It's the Dipper. Like, yo, my man, yo, Sonny Hill told a story about...
Only Knicks fans is more loyal than Philly niggas. That's it.
They gotta be.
Heard.
Y'all gotta be. I mean, I'm a Knicks fan. Like, yeah. No disrespect, salute. Y'all. No disrespect. But that's like a blind loyal. Blind loyal, right? Like at some point, dog, you should have rolled. You should have rolled, dog. You should have rolled. My man Carmelo said, I want to be a New York Knicks. So what is Jim Dolan do, or James Dolan, whatever it is, what's he do? He says, yo, I know I can get my mans in 2-3 months, but nah, fuck that, dog. I want him now. Take the whole squad. We don't need nobody. We got Melo. And then all of a sudden, Melo's from Brooklyn all of a sudden.
Let me ask you a question about that situation. If you were James Dolan, is it a good – if you want Melo that bad, is it a good business ploy to let him walk and maybe have the opportunity to go to Brooklyn? There was Joe Johnson and fucking Darren Williams sitting over there. He could have went over there for free. You know what I mean? Melo wanted to come to New York. Don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna say we didn't give up too much for him. We definitely did. We made some mistakes along the way. But
y'all also built up a good team once he got there. Like when y'all like that team y'all had when it was listen to me. That team that they had when it was Tyson Chandler and it was, what's my man, Novak and all of them, like when it was that Shumpert, JR, Stoudemire. That was a good team. Yeah, that was a good team. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying individually if I name these names off, yeah, it don't sound that hot. But together,
they
was
doing. They played solid. No, he wasn't.
I don't think so.
Chauncey got there the first year. He got hurt during the playoffs. And then we amnestied Chauncey.
Instead of Amari Stoudemire.
Instead of Amari Stoudemire, fine, but I don't think we should have amnesty anybody. We amnesty Chauncey Billups so we can get Tyson fucking Chandler.
That nigga was rebounder was like on 103 that year. Like he was.
It was, crazy. But he can't catch. Nope. And then he let Roy Hibbert murder him. I mean, Roy Hibbert looked like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar against Tyson Chandler in that playoff series.
I haven't heard that name in a minute. Roy Hibbert?
Yeah, that's crazy. Bro, that's crazy.
I'll never forget. We watched game six together. We were all together that day. It was me, you, Germs, Candace. I think Kof was there. Kyle was there. We were all together. Corey Terrell was there. We were all together watching that Germs house. And Roy Hibbert was making hook shot after hook shot after hook shot. I thought I was watching an episode of Punk. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Tyson Chandler? You know what I mean? So, you know, look, I'm not leaving though, bro. I decided, I can't leave. I tried. I can't leave. I come right back every offseason.
Let me ask you that real quick. Because you saw so as a Knicks fan, right, when Brooklyn popped on the scene, right, what did the thought ever go, damn, I could fuck with him, or was it just like, fuck no, I'm a Knicks fan?
You mean when they first moved over from Jersey?
Yeah, when they first moved over from Jersey, and they had Joe. Because they had Joe and Darren Williams.
I'll keep it a buck with you. It was tough because I wasn't sure where we were going, and it was like, yo, it just seemed like the Nets were at that point were making all the right moves, but that proved to be incorrect when they traded their entire draft capital for. Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. That all became a wash. Not only that, they ended up not being very good. Remember, they fired Avery Johnson midway through his second year when they had Darren.
Was that before or after Paul Pierce said he was going to lock down LeBron and LeBron gave him like 40 something? I forget.
That was the same season actually. That was the same season. He said he's going to lock down LeBron.
You know, I fuck with Paul Pierce like that. I can't stand ball.
I mean, I fuck with everything Paul Pierce, basketball wise on the court. I do. Yeah. I do not fuck with him. As an analyst, because I mean, he's gotten better over the last 4 or 5 months, you know, just because of me. But the hate for LeBron was so evident. It was like, yo, you gotta tone that down a little bit, bro. Like, I
just a tad, bro.
It was too much. It was too much. But with that said, though, going back to the Knicks, I'm never leaving. I tried to leave, and it, like every offseason, I'm right back reading articles.
That's how I go.
Preseason. When you love a team. When you love a team, you ride with them. I mean, it was you who told me, Jerry. I never forget you having the conversation with me. You told me this. You said you never know how you feel about a player until he's on your team. You said that to me. You did, Jerry. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, Melo, I had some tough years with Melo because watching him as a Knicks fan as opposed to watching him as a non-Knicks fan are two entirely different things. You know what I'm saying? So, but like I said, I'm still here. I'm still rooting for him. I'm still going to ride. Like, because to me, if it never happens, fine. If it doesn't happen, as long as I'm on this earth, fine. I can live with that. But, you know, if it does, you better stay away from any timeline you're associated with me. I promise you, for one calendar year. If the Knicks win the championship, take cover.
Bro, when the Knicks got the 500, they was in the street celebrating. So a championship, bro.
Now I got to shoot my people some bail. I should shoot my Knicks fans some bail for that. Because y'all gotta understand, the Knicks have not had any type of success this late in the season in the last 5 or 6 years.
That's true.
I'm not sure why everybody is trying to clown us for being excited about us winning. Like the Knicks won a big game. It was a big game they won that night. It got over 500. It got them into the fourth spot, and it also got us a tiebreaker against the Pacers in case that comes down to it. So I'm not sure where all the jokes stem from. Oh, they're so happy. Like, it was a good ass game. It came down to the clutch. What do you want us to do? Not celebrate? No, we're not used to winning. We're going to celebrate in the streets because we're not used to winning.
I'll be like that with the Giants. Like, if the Giants, if we start the season off, like, you know, without being 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, I'm going to celebrate. Like, I'm going to celebrate because we start every season off. Watch your mouth, please, sir. Watch your mouth.
When last time y'all won a Super Bowl?
My nigga, stop it.
Watch your mouth.
How many do you have?
Don't worry about it.
Where's Carson Wentz? Where's your MVP? He was supposed to be MVP.
And Eagles fans, y'all love to talk about this Carson Wentz MVP season. Where's his trophy? He didn't win it. I'm sorry he didn't. Sorry. He did not get it.
Hey, dog, listen.
He didn't win it? He didn't win the Super Bowl?
Y'all niggas had a cardboard cutout of Nick Foles in the locker room, and that man got in his feelings, and he left town.
Let me tell you something. Y'all beat Tom Brady literally because they had no defense, and y'all used the Philly special. That is the only reason why you guys won the fucking chip.
Don't do that. Because y'all only won because fucking David Tyree fucking somehow.
No. Let's talk about how that throw even happened. Eli was about to get sacked 2-3 times before that.
If you gonna keep it all the way real, the ref should have blew the motherfucking whistle. 99.9% of the time, the whistle is blown, which is why everybody stopped. Okay, I see.
My argument to you is this. To y'all, do it again. Win another one.
All right.
Come see us.
Because you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy, Jerv? You know what's crazy? When you asked me the last time we won, I'm going to tell you exactly when the last time we won. Do you remember when y'all was putting together that team in, was it 2011, 2012? The Dream Team. Guess what happened that same summer? They asked Eli Manning, "Does he think he's elite?" He said, "Yeah,
elite."
And everybody laughed, and it was like the Eagles. We won the ring that year.
I mean, y'all do know y'all head coach is the Eagles fan, though, right?
Listen, We talking about what's going on right now. So
I'm just saying your head coach is an Eagles fan, bro. So if y'all do win, it took an Eagle to come and lead y'all to the
promised land. No, it didn't, sir. Watch your mouth. So we got one last thing to touch on, one last topic to touch on before we get up out of here and wrap up. And that is, this is the season that we're in right now. It's tax season, bro. It's tax season. And if you came up like how I came up, you see a lot of niggas do a lot of balling for like a month when tax season come, man. And they be copping they cop the best outfit, they copping the best kush, the best this, the best that, for like a month and a half. And then after that, it's like, all right. I want to ask y'all if y'all – have you ever made one of them, like, gaudy purchases during tax season? Have you ever – you ever did the money phone picture? You ever did something – you know what I mean? Something along those lines when tax season came.
Never. I never made enough back to do anything like that. that's the reality of it, man. Like, taxes be kicking my ass. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't got kids. Niggas that got kids get the taxes back, bro. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I see you, Jeff.
I've never done the money phone. I've made some egregious purchases during the tax season, but I've never, you know what I'm saying? My egregious purchases be like a couple pair of sneaks or some shit like that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, tax season seems to always be, not always, tax season is always around all-star game weekend flow type shit. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I used to, back when I used to cop heavy, I was heavy into all-star weekend sneakers, right? So I used to always have to have the Brian Jones, the Kobe Jones, the KD Jones, or whatever the case may be. So one tax season, I think I spent it's not even that crazy, I guess. I think it was like $400 on some All-Star LeBrons or something like that, which ain't that crazy. I think one John I might have bought a MacBook, but I don't really look at that as crazy. Like, I needed a MacBook, you know what I'm saying? I've been Team Mac ever since whatever that year was, like 03, 04, whatever. But shit, to keep it all the way real with you, bro, shit. Now I'm at that point though. I mean, it's different now with the kid, but yeah. I the last couple years, my G, I was just like, yo, please, God, I just don't want to owe nobody. Like, I'm at that point. I'm 40 now, dog. Like, I used to always ask my parents, I used to be like, yo, you ready for tax season? Man. My mom, like, I just don't want to owe.
If I do get anything back, I already told the wife I'm making one outlet of this purchase this year. I already told her, just one. You know what I mean?
Did she approve it?
Semi-approved. Semi-approved.
Can you reveal your purchase? Can you reveal it? Or
I'm trying. I really want to go and buy those fours, the off-noir fours that I missed out on.
Okay.
So I'm gonna see what the StockX and GOAT prices are looking like. I hit Adina and see if another land has anything.
Shout out to Forbes 100's next word, up Adina, dog. What?
That's crazy.
Adina, let me hold something, dog. Let me hold something. I know you got it. Tax season's coming around, boo. I know you got it.
Dog. Mm-hmm. So
that's crazy.
I think my biggest purchase around that type of time was It was the All-Star game that was going to be in Houston this year, right? It was what year was that?
I was at that John.
06?
I was at that. That's the John with Kyrie. 06. Not.
I'm talking about like.
Oh, before, all right. Like, I thought you were talking about the John with Kyrie made. What's my man name for?
Brandon Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, this was like years and years ago. So it was a pair of All-Star ones that came out. That was like only releasing down there or whatever. And this is around the time too, where like, you know, niggas are selling CDs and, you know, doing all that. But, you know, I'm selling, trying to stack my money, you know, whatever. So taxes come. I hit mom's up. I'm like, yo, can I get, you know, XYZ? She's like, all right, here you go. You know, do what you want, whatever. Dog, it was a pair of sneakers. They was you could look them up. It was like red, white, and blue with the stars all around the Air Force Ones and all that. It was like patent leather. I spent like $250 on them just to get them because they wasn't coming out like up here. You know, Air Force Ones were on that time, $90. You know what I mean? Whatever. I spent $250 on them joints and it was worth it because when I went to school, when them shits finally came in, everybody, teachers, everybody was looking down at my feet the whole day like, yo, like, what the fuck? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then I ended up seeing...
And that's the reason why you get the sneakers. Be for the looks, man.
For the, yeah, yeah, be absolutely. For the looks. And I love those sneakers. Like, I loved them. But then when I got them and, like, everybody else was fucking with them, too, I was like, all right, bet. And then I saw this nigga Chingy with them on in the fucking, like, was it?
Not my nigga, Chingy.
I saw Chingy with them on
in the Ling?
Look, I saw Chingy with him on the video. I was like, that was my moment where I was like, I've been had them, nigga. Fuck out of here. Like,
That's
what that was about. Yeah, man.
Not Chingy, dog.
Yeah, Chingy, man. You know what I'm saying? But I wanna say, you know, that I said this was gonna be a classic episode before we started, and I think it lived up to the hype. Y'all, I wanna thank you for joining us. You know, this is episode 3, the Rap Names Podcast, man. Again, you catch us every Sunday from now on the Bomb feed. You know what I mean? New day, new time, same us and all that, man. You know what I'm saying? Jerv, let them know, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, y'all, you know, like I said in the beginning, brother, we are, I'm beyond, you know, I talk my shit, but I'm beyond proud of you, brother. Please keep up the good work, fam. Chuming right now. You know, I get it. If I reach out again, you might be booked. You know what I'm saying? I understand that, beloved. I understand. You know what I'm saying? But I get it. As long as your numbers stay the same and I don't see you, and you don't hit me with the Drake joint. You know what I'm saying? It used to go blue, now it's green. You must have changed numbers on the team. You know what I'm saying? Long as that don't happen, brother, be good. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But no, I wanted to give you opportunity, bro. Is there anything you, I know you work, I know you in the lab, you're doing something, you know what I mean? What's next for you?
So I got some things coming out soon. I'll actually be the voice of the Big Ten tournament for the men's side that starts next week.
So, yeah.
Shout out to my Wolverines and all that, man. Big Ten.
I did a piece for the Wolverines as well for Big Ten. So I did a few pieces for them that'll be airing on digital and also on, the network side during the games of the tournament. I got that going on. I did the SEC men's and women's tournament for ESPN as well. What else is there? Something else. Oh, we got more work in the stash, obviously. I'm probably gonna release an album this year, but probably some singles that'll be I'll throw out, you know, sporadically throughout the year. I don't think I'm in album mode yet, but if I do get the album mode, I will definitely let you guys know.
Please do, good brother, because you know I still got that 16 waiting for you whenever you're ready to have me on the album.
Yo, bro, listen, I'll shoot you an instrumental tonight, man. I got you, bro. I got you.
I appreciate that. This has been episode 3 of the Rap Names Podcast, man. You know, like, subscribe, do your thing, man. We appreciate y'all, you know what I mean? And you know, more fire episodes to come, man.
Yo, Rob.
Yo, Amin.
What's the biggest complaint I always have whenever we record these podcasts?
Besides Jerv being too sleepy, I think it's you forget to name a couple of things. You always want to talk about some extra stuff.
Oh, man. It's the worst feeling in the world. When we get done and we say cut and I'm sending the files to Rob and I say, shit, I forgot we were going to talk about this topic or that topic. Well, guess what? We're not going to have those problems anymore. If you go ahead and download the Stereo app, that's right. Go to stereo.com/DarthAmin and make sure you are linked and subscribe to us. And we're going to talk about all of the different things that I always forget about. This is a great app. Every time you guys are listening to this pod, you say, oh, I wish I could chime in. But you're listening to a pod, you can never chime in. It's pre-recorded. Guess what? With Stereo, you're able to have your voice heard. You can ask real-time questions about either the pod episode we recorded or whatever we're talking about at the time. It's great. It's a forum for you to listen to your favorite podcasters. That'll be me and yours truly, all at the Count the Things Network. And we're going to be out here. We're going to do this regularly, multiple times a week. Just hop on Stereo, download the app, subscribe, follow Darth Amin, follow Talk Hoops, follow Trayvon, follow Big Waz, all of us. You know who we are. You search for us on the Stereo app, you will find us and subscribe to us and be a part of these conversations real time. Have the ability to ask the questions that you want to ask. Stop us when we're on some bullshit, as we are frequently.
And of course, catch some content that goes above and beyond what you listen to in the podcast you already love. Again, that is the Stereo app. And you can follow me, stereo.com/DarthAmin. You can look up everybody else by their handles. Their handles are all the same as what we have on social media. You can join us multiple times a week. I love Stereo. I'm on the app talking all the time. Follow me and get notified every time I go live.